Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's TGS fourth quarter and full year 2009 results conference call. For your information, today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to your host today, Mr. Robert Hobbs. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, and welcome to TGS's fourth quarter 2009 conference call. Joining me here today is Arne Hellen, our CFO, and I am CEO of TGS. Earlier today, we posted our fourth quarter earnings release, full year 2009 results, and an outlook for 2010, along with a recorded presentation of those materials. I hope you've had an opportunity to view that release, and we'll just give now a brief summary of the main points from the release and open the calls for your questions. In the fourth quarter of 2009, our total net revenues of $158 million were up 1% compared to the same period one year ago, if the settlement amounts from the Wayfield Insights settlement are excluded from the 2008 numbers. Gross multi-client late sales were 33% higher than the same period one year ago, and net late sales were $129.5 million, up 24% year-on-year. Pre-funding revenues covered 49% of our investments in multi-client products, which totaled $37.3 million for the quarter. Those were 34% lower than one year ago. Our resulting operating profit was $77 million, and that was 49% of net revenues. Very healthy margin. Earnings per share were $0.56 per share, equal to that in Q4 of 2008, including the Wayfield settlement, and up 18% excluding the settlement in Q4 2008. Our backlog at the end of Q4 increased 16% to $152.8 million. For the full year 2009, net revenues were $477.7 million, a decrease of 18% compared to 2008. Gross late sales from the multi-client library were $460.7 million and were up 6% from 2008. Net late sales from the multi-client library, when revenue sharing is removed from the gross sales, were $321 million, and those were down 5% from 2008 full year. In 2009, operating profit was $210.2 million, or 44% of net revenues. This was down 22% from 2008. Investments in the multi-client library in 2009 were $266 million and were 47% pre-funded. Earnings per share in 2009 were $1.56 per share, up from $1.10 reported in 2008. So we were very happy during the year 2009, which was a very challenging year for our industry, to have met all of our guided targets that we guided early in the year. As of December 31st, 2009, TGS's cash holdings were $243.5 million, compared to $148.3 million at the end of 2008. In a separate press release this morning that was posted, the board of TGS announced that it had decided to propose in the June 2010 annual general meeting a dividend of 4 Norwegian kroner per share of outstanding common stock from the company's 2009 earnings, of which 2 kroner per share is a non-recurring distribution. In addition to the proposed dividend, the board intends to instruct management to spend an additional $30 million of cash off the balance sheet in repurchasing shares during the remainder of 2010. The market for TGS's data products is much improved from this time one year ago. While sales activities increased, buoyed by announced increases in E&P budgets from our customers, vessel availability for TGS to use to acquire new surveys will remain good due to scheduled releases of new builds on the market, resulting in a general condition of vessel oversupply in 2010. In addition, 2010 promises to be a more active year for license rounds in key areas where TGS has modern data products versus license round activity that we experienced in 2009. In addition to leveraging the benefits of our continued investment in these important plays, TGS's project development teams are continuing to identify attractive opportunities. Therefore, for 2010, TGS management has guided the following: multi-client investments of $270 to $300 million, average pre-funding in the range of 50 to 60% of investments, an average annualized multi-client amortization rate between 37 and 43% of net revenues, and net revenues in the range of $560 to $600 million U.S. dollars, of which approximately 5% will be from proprietary contract projects and the remainder of the 95% being from multi-client products. Miriam, we're now ready to take questions if you're ready.
Thank you. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Once again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will now move to our first question from James Redfern from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. James Redfern here. I just want to ask a very general question about the dividend policy and just why the change, really. I mean, you know, because if we look back at the strong years of 2006, 7, and 8, you had the ability to pay dividends then. Why now, in beginning of 2010, are you deciding to pay a dividend and potentially maintain a dividend of 2 Norwegian kroner going forward? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, James. I think in the past as we've built our cash balance, we've obviously first elected to use that cash in reinvesting back in our business for multi-client projects. And we have in the past chosen to use a mechanism when we have decided to return cash to shareholders to do stock repurchases. As you see from this announcement, we continue to use that as a mechanism, or intend to continue to use that as a mechanism to return cash back. But I think more importantly, you know, the board has asked management to sort of model our cash flow expected from our business going forward and look at our expected investments going forward long term and determine that we can both be aggressive in reinvesting back in the business but also return some of the value to the shareholders through sort of a new mechanism of creating a dividend a dividend policy. Mm-hmm. So it's I think the board has considered this many times over the past few years, and I think in 2007, 2008, 2009, even in the tough year of 2009, you saw the company continue to build our cash balance, the board feels like now we're in a good position to be able to return, a significant amount of that cash balance, but still have, a healthy balance to be able to continue our growth of our company, and just believe that this is the right time to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I agree. You've certainly got the cash there to do it, and good operating cash flow. So that's all good. And maybe just one other question: if you could please talk about your operations or activities for 2010. I mean, obviously you've got the Justice program in the Gulf of Mexico, and you're also acquiring further data in Liberia. Is there anything else you can touch on briefly, please?
Sure. We're planning to increase our investments, obviously, and in addition to increasing those investments, I think you'll see us increase even more our activity from those investments. Obviously, we'll continue our focus in our traditional areas of strength, like the Gulf of Mexico and in Northwest Europe. There are a number of important license rounds that are being held in 2010 that we're well prepared for from the investments we've made in 2008 and 2009. So we're quite excited about that. and it's sort of proof positive that our strategy of continuing to build product where in the areas where we're strong is working for us. And so I think you'll continue to see activity in those areas. Obviously West Africa, we've been there for quite some time, but you're seeing us certainly become more aggressive on the 3D front in West Africa. And I think our timing was fantastic there in that we started our activity early in this latest round of activity from oil companies chasing this new play in the Upper Cretaceous of West Africa. So I think you'll see us continue to be active there. But also we're looking at frontier areas like the Arctic. And we've been investing in Greenland for, coming on 10 years now. And I think we've got a great footprint there that we're going to be able to take advantage of in the license rounds that are scheduled in the Baffin Bay in 2010. And I'm enthusiastic that we'll be able to find other opportunities in those frontier regions.
Okay. Yeah, that's fantastic. Okay, guys, thanks a lot. That was all I had.
Thanks, James.
We're now moving to our next question from David Phillips from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good afternoon. I've got a few questions, actually. First one, just a quick clarification, which I'll just go ahead and ask this right now, on what some of you said this morning. You're talking about the vessel costs you're seeing at the moment. And I think you said the sort of leasing cost for White Azimuth was something like 9% lower than it was in 2009. Is that roughly what you said this morning?
No, what we communicated is our overall cost year on year for capacity that we use both for 3D and 3D West, and so for 3D, we had capacity that we, and actually in both product lines, the capacity that we used in 2009, we secured in 2008 closer, in 2008 and 2007 closer to the high period. For vessel rates, and as we completed those projects in 2009, obviously we've not renewed those charter agreements at those rates. And in 2010, we're going to be able to take advantage of vessel capacity that we secured after the market declined in 2009. So what we were communicating this morning was the fact that, we're increasing our investments from $266 million in 2009 to $300 million. But at the same time of increasing that investment, you're going to see us acquire more data on a unit basis because our overall costs are declining, just simply because, the capacity that we had before was more expensive.
Sure. Okay, but for the types of vessels that you will be using to do your 100% TGS White Azimuth work, if you compared those costs very roughly with the levels you would have booked in 07 and 08, I think you said maybe I misheard you, but there seemed to be somewhat less of a decline at the high end.
Yeah, now we're using a different Western Geco is supplied us with a different crew.
Sure.
For the Justice project, Yeah, I mean, so we were using Q technology on the JV project that we had with Western Geco when we did Freedom and Liberty.
Yep.
We elected not to use Q on Justice, so that one could assume that might influence the cost a little bit.
Sure.
So in conventional 3D. We have again the vessels that we have commitments for, the Polarcus vessel and the BGP Pioneer that we're currently using now for traditional 3D. Those were charters that we secured in mid 2009 after the market had declined.
Sure. Okay. Well, it's a nice lead into the next question. Actually, it's interesting to see you guys building on your experience in White Azimuth. I just wondered when you look back at the projects you're doing. You recently finished, and let's say looking at the Justice one coming up now, look at the way these projects are working out versus those in 06 and 07. I mean, apart from just the lower vessel costs, how do these compare in terms of the efficiency, the you know the amount of acreage you can cover, and also any configurations. Do you think you and the industry are getting somewhat better at doing these sort of projects now?
Yeah, I mean, I think as in any sort of the application of new technology, industry finds out more efficient ways to do it and gets better at it. And you know, Western GECO, the group that we are the crews that we've been chartering for these projects, you know, they've been at it for quite some time, and we continue to realize through their experience, you know, benefits from their ability to perform it at higher rates, you know, higher acquisition rates. So we've been very happy with that. I mean, the wide azimuth investments that we have made since early 2008 is when we started there, started our first wide azimuth program there with our joint venture with Western. You know, we've been extremely happy with the performance of those investments, and are enthusiastic to continue that with the Justice program that we started, and additional projects that we continue to evaluate there that
sure.
might follow.
Sure. Okay, great. Well, one last question. I mean, a more sort of general one. I mean, everyone knows that multi-client's improving this year. I just wondered, when you looked at, you know, what you've seen in the last month or so of 2009 and look at what you see on the horizon right now, are there any particular areas that either a region or a type of data or a particular sort of trend that has surprised you, apart from, you know, obviously things are getting better, but I wonder if there's anything that really stands out that's been a bit of a surprise?
I think, you know, I think the activity that we've recently seen in West Africa has been very impressive. You know, and typically what you find in our business, you know, you have some pioneers that get involved in frontier plays and they have success, and then you get a flurry of followers into a play. And you know, one of TGS's strengths, I think, is we typically will we build very good relationships with those pioneers in our industry, and in many cases sort of move in with them into new plays. And it puts us in a good position to capitalize once you have the followers come in. And I think that's a really neat pattern that we're seeing in West Africa right now, in that we got in with those pioneers, and I think you're going to see us really benefit from now the increased activity, you know, on the back of their success.
Okay, thanks, Robert.
Yeah, thanks.
Our next question is from Tor Lund from DNB Nord. Please go ahead.
Hi, I have one question on your investment guidance of 270-300. Could you comment on how much of that is already committed?
In terms of already committed capacity, it's the lower end of that. Actually below the lower end of that. We will have to meet our investment guidance, we will have to secure additional capacity that we have not committed to yet in 2010. Now, mind you, you know, remember that we have option periods that we've negotiated out there too, with Polarcus, as well as, of course, our option that we have with CGG Veritas that we got through the Wakefield settlement. So, you know, there are opportunities to take advantage of potentially those options. In terms of hard commitments, we will have to secure additional capacity to reach our investment guidance.
Okay, thank you. And a brief question on your amortization rate. Does that vary a lot between your 2D library and 3D library?
No, not really. Not really.
Okay, thank you.
Of Arctic Securities, our next question is from Christopher Merlo-Loken. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, Christopher.
Could you say how pricing is developing in the multi-client market?
Yeah, you know, we... pricing has, you know, we put together pricing as we move into a new project, and we evaluate both the cost of conducting that project, But also the forecast that we have for, you know, revenue, the revenue stream going forward, i.e. the number of clients that we have that might buy into that project over the life of the project, the activity in a particular area. You know, we have been through the, through 2009, we have been able to really sort of maintain, for the most part, our pricing that we had on projects that we had conducted earlier. You know, where you see, where you might see price adjustments typically in our business through maybe slack periods is when we go out and get pre-funding for projects, because, you know, our customers can sometimes realize advantages through our cost savings that we see in those periods. You don't see the price elasticity in our business, the multi-client business, that you do from the contract business. So it's not as I guess it's not as variable through the cycles, I guess you could say. You know, I think so you don't, you know, I wouldn't expect in an upcycle to see huge swings, but I mean, obviously you have pricing strength in an upcycle, and we would expect to take advantage of that.
But would you say it's fair to assume that perhaps the discounts that the E&P companies would demand to get into pre-funding in a new multi-client project, that discount is likely to decrease in 2010, given the fact that your clients are increasing their budgets, you are upping your pre-funding guidance for 2010 versus 2009, and you see a stronger interest among your clients to actually pre-fund into new multi-client projects?
Yeah, I think you might see us, you know, see some upward momentum on pre-funding pricing, but, you know, our pre-funding pricing structures, our discounts that we offer are pretty well, you know, sort of set discounts that we offer to convince companies to join us early in the project. But obviously, as we adjust, as we move, you know, into a more favorable market in terms of E&P spending, we will look to increase our pricing to match along with that in sort of a pre-funding mode.
But you haven't seen that so far, or you haven't, you know, the increased or decreased discount on pre-funding to date?
No.
What would you say the average cost for your capacity in 2010 is down with compared to 2009?
Average cost, I'm sorry, I didn't...
Average cost for the vessels you have chartered. Uh-huh. You gave some pricing examples for the 3D size. Is that also a good indication for the 2D vessels?
2D vessels have, yeah, they have. I mean, the market for the pricing on 2D vessels, I think, collapsed quite a bit quicker than the pricing for 3D vessels in late 2008, 2009. There is, you know, I'd characterize that, you know, probably the, I mean, there's more oversupply in the 2D vessel market than there is in the 3D vessel market right now. You know, a lot of the capacity that we've already committed, we committed at very favorable rates. So I guess, you know, I wouldn't see the average difference that I spoke of earlier today. I wouldn't see that average difference necessarily being reflected in our 2D business, simply because the rates were already pretty low in the capacity that we locked in.
Okay. Just let me walk you through an example here. If you take the mid-range of your 2010 guidance, you're increasing your dollar invested in multi-client by 7%. But the prices you pay for the capacity to acquire that data in 2010 is down by, well, let's say 15% down, if prices is not that much down for for 2D vessels.
Yep.
So you're increasing the amount of square kilometer shot or kilometer shot or what have you.
Yep.
More than 30% for 2010.
Yeah, it depends on the product, right? If you look at it for sort of net TGS kilometers, because remember that whereas we were doing a lot of wide azimuth and we only owned 50% of it in 2008, 2009, we're going to be doing a lot of wide azimuth in 2010 where we own 100% of it.
Yep.
So you see an activity increase there, net TGS quite a bit.
But my point is that, if your activity increases by more than 30% this year, while your mid-range revenue guidance increases by 20% from 2009, either you're selling for a slightly lower price, or your revenue guidance is perhaps slightly on the conservative side.
I think it's up to you, Christian, Christopher, how you interpret that. I think what we are guiding, we feel very comfortable in. And we do that, we do this on a bottom-up approach, by looking at projects and budgeting those individual projects and looking at the capacity we've locked in and what we think we can get capacity for going forward. And we build what we guide for you guys via that. So it's sort of you can take that and interpret it how you wish.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Christopher.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Our next question is from Ole Martin Vestgaard from ABG. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. I just had a couple of housekeeping questions. You're not giving any guidance on the tax rate we should expect for 2010. Can you give any flavor on that?
Well, we do say in our earnings release that we believe that our tax rate, operational tax rate is, I believe we say, 31%.
Okay. And secondly, on the operating cost side, obviously costs come down quite a bit in 2009. What is sort of the expectation for 2010? Should we assume a lower run rate?
No, I would assume sort of steady from 2009.
Okay. And can you give the split between investments in 2D and 3D of your total investment level in 2010?
No, we don't want to give that.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
Gentlemen, as we have no further questions at this time, I would like to hand the conference over to you. Oh, pardon the interruption again. We would have a follow-up question from Christopher Muller, if you'd like me to open the night.
Sure.
Last question. What did you say is the most likely regarding the discount on pre-funding you're giving to your customers? Would you say it likely be kept unchanged or decrease or increase in the future?
Well, I mean, the discounts that we offer for pre-funding are determined on a project-by-project basis. It's the region. It depends on, the mix of whether we're doing, 3D projects in Africa versus Gulf of Mexico. So I can't really answer that, really. The discount relative to late sale pricing typically remains pretty constant in our business.
Thank you.
Thank you, Christopher.
We would now move to Johava Hingurani from Standard & Poor's. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Most of them have been answered. Just a point of clarification, there was an earlier question about this dividend, and I think I understood it when you presented it, but then maybe the question confused me. It's divided into a one-time dividend payment, and the rest of it's for the share buyback, and you're not, I mean, this doesn't set up any kind of an ongoing dividend policy, correct?
Well, I think what the message says is that the board will propose to the shareholders in the June annual meeting that one distributes a dividend of 4 kroner per share, out of which 2 kroner or half of it is to be a non-recurring dividend or event. And I think that what you can read from that is that the intention is that the 2 kroner per share is intended to be as a basis for future dividend proposals from the board going forward.
Should we look at that as a payout in terms of a payout ratio, or can you provide any more insight into that?
Well, I think that the board will look at this every year going forward, what they will propose and all that. So I think for now, I think it's too early to say more than the company thinks that it will be able to pay out about 2 kroner per share going forward as such, and that the board then proposes an extra 2 kroner per share this year, and also to do about $30 million in share buybacks during 2010, so that the company is returning fairly quickly or within the 2010 year. If the shareholders agree, they will be returning more than $100 million to the shareholders.
Okay, great. And, I just wanted to also wish you all the best, Arne.
Thanks.
I guess it's the last time we're going to hear from you on a quarter? Okay, well, great. Thanks.
Thank you, Jay.
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. From First Securities, we would now take a question from Paul Dahl. Please go ahead, sir.
My questions have been off. Thank you.
Gentlemen, as we have no further questions, I'd like to hand the call back over to you.
Well, thank you, everybody, and I think TGS is very proud with with our performance in 2009 in what was a very challenging year. I think what we especially want to communicate is that we're very excited about the coming year, and we're excited about the opportunities that we see in front of us, and we appreciate your support. So thank you.
This will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.